Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan is the leader of so many of the most important revelations that shock us about our government. He joins us right now. Mr. Chairman, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be with you guys.
A big day today. You're going all in. You want to know all the coordination between the federal government and these prosecutors. Tell us what you expect to find, what things you know about already that trouble you.
Well, first of all, step back for a second. Alvin Bragg in this ridiculous case that the DOJ wouldn't bring, the FEC wouldn't bring, even his predecessor, Cy Vance, wouldn't bring. This case that he brought, he's alleging that President Trump was involved in a conspiracy to impact the 2016 election. And then, of course, Jack Smith is alleging that President Trump here in the D.C. case is alleging that President Trump was involved in some kind of conspiracy to impact the 2020 election. The real conspiracy, it seems to me, is the conspiracy between Alvin Bragg and Jack Smith and Fannie Willis and potentially Michelangelo in conspiring to impact the 2024 race. That's what's going on here. So Colangelo is a big shot at the DOJ, the Biden DOJ, and he leaves and goes to work for Alvin Bragg, much like Pomerantz, the guy who persuaded Bragg to bring this crazy case in the first place, left his position and goes in volunteers to work for Alvin Bragg. We think those are concerns as well. And maybe the biggest news today is this fact that the judge said President Trump was violated the gag order and fined him $9,000 and is threatening to put him in jail. Think about this. Michael Cohen is their star witness in this crazy case, a convicted perjurer. He's allowed to talk. He's allowed to say whatever he wants. But the former president and the candidate leading in every single poll is not allowed to speak about the case. That's what's just, I think, so mind-boggling to most Americans.
Yeah, great point.
Yes, sir, we're with you on that. And I think that the main red flag with regards to Matthew Colangelo is that it's just such a unique professional trajectory to go from a high-ranking position at the DOJ and then to go argue a case in New York. But regardless, do you expect the DOJ to comply with your request for these communications?
I mean, we're simply asking for what went on, what kind of communication did you have? We know, and I think John mentioned this, we know that Fannie Willis, through Nathan Wade, was having all kinds of communications with, it looks like, the Justice Department, the January 6th committee, maybe even the White House counsel's office, when they were putting that crazy case together in Atlanta, Georgia. We want to know what was Colangelo doing while he was at DOJ and then heading up to New York to be part of Alvin Bragg's team. We'd like to know the same answers there. So we've subpoenaed information in the Fannie Willis case. We're asking for this information in the Alvin Bragg Colangelo case. We'll see what we get.
Yeah, really important. Last week, sir, we put together a timeline from documents we got from FOIA and that the court released, and it shows right after Joe Biden's people found out, he's got documents, classified documents left over from his vice presidency, all of a sudden, the White House, NARA, the National Archives, and the Justice Department started talking, trying to build a case against Donald Trump, even though they weren't doing the same thing against Joe Biden. From the evidence that's now out there, are you concerned that maybe the prosecution on the classified documents was just a cover story because they knew Joe Biden had a problem?
Well, we know Joe Biden, the elements of the crime are there. The elements of committing this are there. He knowingly disclosed classified information. We know he had a motive. This came out with Robert Hur, where it was, I think it's on page 231 of the report. Right. Robert Hur says Joe Biden had strong motivations for ignoring classified procedures because he was writing a book for which he got paid $8 million. So there's the motive, 8 million reasons why he kept and disclosed classified information. So you met the elements of the crime. You have motive. Why didn't Robert Hur recommend charges against President Biden? Well, he tells us that in his report because he says he's a forgetful old man who'd be sympathetic to a jury. Okay, so this is one of the reasons we've asked for the audio tape. We think the American people should be able to hear how that interview was conducted, what took place, what was said, how it was said between Robert Hur's team and Joe Biden. If you're going to say we're not going to bring charges when the elements are there and the motive is there, we think we kind of need that evidence. The American people need that evidence, particularly now as they're getting ready to decide who's going to be our commander in chief.
Yeah, good point.
Let's stick with the theme of timelines. Back in 2019, that was when Democrats started the process of impeaching President Trump. Then in January of 2020, with great fanfare, they marched over those articles to the Senate. That was the same month that Democrat Representative Adam Schiff, who was a big proponent of the impeachments, his campaign committee paid $600,000 in digital media buys from who? From Lauren Mershon, the daughter of the judge overseeing the case in New York. Conflict of interest, illegal.
Well, it should.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
It's certainly a conflict of interest. I mean, Judge Mershon's daughter, it looks like she worked for just about every major Democrat you can think of. And then, of course, you have the conduct of the judge himself, the things he said to President Trump, this fine today, the gag order itself. Again, I find that maybe the most problematic in that Michael Cohen's allowed to speak and President Trump isn't. That just doesn't make any sense to the American people. So, yeah, she's worked for all kinds of Democrats, made all kinds of money. That should definitely be a conflict. But this judge doesn't seem to care. I said the other day, you know, when you think about Joe Biden, who has trouble putting a couple sentences together, I think in the end, this campaign is really what the Democrats want to do is they want Biden in the basement and Trump on trial. And that's how this campaign is going to progress. But I don't think in the end, the American people are going to be taken by that. I think they're seeing the facts. They have common sense. And they understand what's going on here. And this Bragg trial is such a weak case. It's going to be over soon. And then we're going to be back to where I think President Trump's numbers continue to go up. He's up now in, I think, just about every single poll.
Yeah. People have processed what's happened and they know what's going on. Mr. Chairman, I want to ask a little bit about the great work you've done in the weaponization world, continuing to press banks and the FBI on why they're exchanging private financial information about Americans without a warrant. What are you learning? What do you expect to learn in this next batch of documents you've asked for?
Well, we hope it's not as bad as what we've already seen. But remember what happened with we had a whistleblower come and tell us about documents that communications between the FBI and Bank of America. And the FBI asked Bank of America, tell us within a certain date range, any of your customers' debit card, credit card purchases in a specific location area. And then overlay that with information about any weapon or firearm purchases they've ever made. And that is like they did that without any process, without any warrant. We just think that's wrong. That's a direct invasion of people's privacy. And Americans don't think their bank is just turning over their purchase data to the FBI, to the government. So much so the whistleblower said they didn't want to use it. They thought this was not proper. Right. And the FBI didn't use that material. So we're going to try to find out what else happened out there, what other banks were involved. We know about Bank of America. We want to know what other banks were involved in this, too, as we conduct this investigation.
Important stuff.
I think the American people would be interested to know that as well. So thank you, sir. I want to ask you about an incredible piece that you published yesterday in The Hill, along with two of your colleagues, Nicole Malliotakis and Jeff Van Drew, regarding the New York trial that we were just speaking about.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about that with respect to some very timely polling numbers that came out from Emerson that showed that in swing states, 60-70% of those polled said that a guilty Trump verdict in New York would either have no change or make them even more inclined to vote for President Trump. Do you think that trajectory is going to continue?
I do, because I think the American people, as I said before, have common sense. They're smart. They see the escalation from the left and from the Democrats. You know, in 2016, this is great work by you guys, John, with making this public. But they spied on President Trump's campaign. Then it was the Mueller investigation. Then it was impeachment. Then it was raiding President Trump's home. Then it was naming Jack Smith special counsel. Then it was Jack Smith in Miami and D.C., Alvin Bragg in New York, Fonnie Wallace in Atlanta. Then it was the 14th Amendment they tried all over the country in various states. who knows what's next? I guess it's the gag order from Judge Mershon, whose daughter worked for all the Democrats. I mean, they've seen the escalation of this weaponization against the government, against not only President Trump, but against parents at school board meetings and pro-life Catholics and you name it. They've seen it for what it is. And so I think they understand the facts. And that's one of the reasons why it's not impacting President Trump's numbers and why I think he's going to be our next president.
Yeah. So we've got about a minute left. Real quickly, there's a lot of concern about what's playing out on our college campuses. It seems like universities that have tax exemptions, nonprofits that fund the groups that are carrying out this violence, they all need to be looked at. Do you think they'll be looking at some of the tax code issues of the people that are funding this sort of hate that we see?
Yeah, Chairman Smith has talked about that in the Ways and Means Committee. We talked about the fact that, you know, kind of three fundamental questions. One is how many of these students on campuses are engaged in this radical activity? How many of those students are here on a visa? And if you know that answer, have you asked the State Department to revoke the visa, Secretary Mayorkas? And if you've done those two things, how many have you actually removed from the country? Because if you're engaged in this kind of espousing and supporting terrorism, like some of these students are definitely doing, and you're here on a visa, you're supposed to be removed. So we've sent a letter today to both Secretary Blinken and Secretary Mayorkas asking those sort of three fundamental questions. How many of the students are here on a visa who are engaged in this radical activity? Have you moved to revoke their visa? And have you started removal proceedings? Because that's what's supposed to happen, particularly when it's terrorist activity and these individuals are talking about, destruction for our dearest and closest ally, the state of Israel.
Yeah, they're declaring I am Hamas. I mean, we see it on the videotapes. It's just extraordinary. Mr. Chairman, you always ask the hard questions that others don't want to get, and you get us the answers. We are so grateful for the time today and for all the updates. You got a lot of important stuff on your plate.
Thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today. Send them to our website, townhallreview.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.